This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run, with special guest host Chris Ranji.
Suzuki pops it up right field, might be playable for Benson. Benson battling the sun. That's a fair ball. A fair ball bouncing off the wall. Ian Happ rounding third. Ian Happ scores. It's a double for Suzuki. Stopping at third is Tucker. Cubs lead 1-0.
Now the 1-1 to Dansby. Ground ball to the shortstop, De La Cruz. He will come up throwing the first and not in time. Safe at first is Swanson. De La Cruz took too much time. Here comes the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Ball game is over. The Cubs win it by a score of 2-0.
Go ahead. Call me daddy.
3-2. Benintendi sticks out the bat, and he will drive in the first run of the game for the Sox. Talkman scores from third.
Deep into center field. Robert Jr. continues to go back, and it leaves the ballpark. The wind got a hold of this one as Mateo, his first home run of the season. A two-run shot here in the fifth. Sox lose another tough one, and they will lose this series to the Orioles, the final 4-2.
What about thanks?
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Chris Ranji.
Hey, good morning, friends. How we doing? Boy, it's great to talk to you today. Let's talk a little baseball, shall we? What did it say? The premier baseball show in Chicago? No. This, usually with Matt Spiegel, the premier baseball show in America. Trust me on that. It is good to have you with us today. 312-644-6767. The phone number to call and to text me. You can also, if you want, if you're listening on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, there is a button right next to the Listen Live button that says Send a Message. You can record a message and send it to the show. That's another way to get a hold of us. I am on Twitter at Chris Ranji. If you want to tweet at me, you're welcome to do that too. So you've got the phone number to call and text today. The highlights, of course, from the score and from Chicago Sports Network. The Cubs yesterday with a win. The White Sox, not so much. And they lose the series to a really bad Baltimore Orioles team, which probably shouldn't be as bad as they are, but they are bad right now, and the Sox have lost the series. But for the Cubs, it is an opportunity today to win against the Cincinnati Reds. And the story of the game yesterday, well, there were a couple of them, really, is Ben Brown with a terrific relief appearance, which is basically a start after the opener Drew Pomeranz came out and started the first inning. He gave them that inning of work, and then Brown was terrific from there. And as Craig Counsell said, the best start of the year for him. Well, he said this is the best start of the year for Ben Brown, and it was. Trust me on that. He is, and yesterday was really good. We know that he's had some trouble in the first inning all season long. So, I don't know. Maybe using the opener is the way to go from here on out, at least for the time being. I don't know that they want to play with that for as long as Brown is a starter on this team, but maybe give it a try at least another time or two and see how it goes. But for whatever reason, the first inning for him has been difficult, but this time around, he didn't have to worry about the first inning. He started in the second, and as Craig Counsell said, really good.
I mean, he pitched the second inning. You know, like I said before the game, you do it because you're going to avoid the first, you know, their top of their lineup once. You know, and it gives you a little more control over kind of maybe, you know, you're deeper in the game. But that's why you do it.
Yeah, and he was fantastic. And the thought of using Drew Pomeranz as a starter, which, by the way, it was 2,124 games between starts for Pomeranz, and it was something like seventh all-time, the biggest drought between starts in the history of baseball. So really interesting note for him. He did a good job in the first inning, and Counsell addressed using the opener at Wrigley Field yesterday.
Yeah, Ben pitched great. Absolutely his best start of the year. You know, on the attack, aggressive, and just in the strike zone a whole bunch, controlling counts a whole bunch. So it was outstanding performance.
Yeah, all right, good enough, right? So should they do it again? Should they go with the starter again, the opener again? The Tampa Bay Rays had made use of that going back a couple of years, and it had worked for them. I don't think it's something that works for every team. And I don't think it's something you want to do all season long. You might want to pick your spots. But as we mentioned, the first inning with an ERA over 9 for Brown, for whatever reason, whether he's too jazzed up or just not quite ready, I think it's maybe an issue of being too amped up in that first inning. Maybe this is a way to settle him down, but at some point he's going to have to figure out if he's going to stay as a starter, he will have to figure out how to do the first inning. You're going to have to figure out how to pitch the first inning. I know a lot of teams, or a handful of teams like the Rays, as I mentioned, like the idea of an opener. I don't think you want to do that permanently. This is something you want to do in the meantime while you get a guy right. But you cannot argue with the results yesterday against a pretty good Reds team. And I know the Reds right now are in fourth place in the division. So you might look at that and go, oh, why, you know, why should we worry about Cincinnati? That is still a dangerous team. I don't think they're the best team in the division, but they are certainly dangerous. They're a game below 500 right now and 7.5 games back, which leads me to one of the questions of the day that I want you to give me your answer at 312-644-6767. As you move along, and by the way, I should remind you, it is June now. We are officially through 2 months of the season. We are through, on the calendar year, one-third of the season. So things have had a chance to really settle in. We have an idea of what the National League Central is this year. So as you have looked at the Central Division, and having yet to play the Cardinals, and having seen where the Brewers are now, who are a third-place team, of those three teams, which is the one that concerns you the most the remainder of the season? Is it this Reds team they are playing right now with a good young core, but also a team that doesn't really, like the Pirates, ever seem to be interested in supplementing their roster and supplementing their good young players? They're not as bad as the Pittsburgh Pirates are in that regard, but they are still bad at it. So is it the Reds? Is it the Brewers, who always seem to find a way to be there at the end of the year? And I will admit, and I think I have done this many times already, I will admit that the Brewers are one of those teams, I call them like a Tom Brady team, okay? They're not as good as Tom Brady. But what I mean is, toward the end of Brady's career, I think the last 4 years of it, going into the season, I would say, well, this is probably the year he's no good. And then he would be good and maybe win a Super Bowl. Likewise, the Milwaukee Brewers, I think for the last 4 or 5 years going into the season, I have said, don't worry about Milwaukee. They're not a problem. And then they're always a problem. They're still a problem. And right now they're back above 500. So is it the Brewers who always seem to find a way in the last 4 or 5 years or so? Or is it your main division rival in the Cardinals, who are in second place right now? They are 3 games back in the division. They have been winning a lot lately, but the Cubs have been winning more. And so they have kept the Cardinals at bay. For, again, a series that hasn't happened yet. The Cubs and Cardinals haven't played yet. They will finally this month, but it hasn't happened yet. Which of those 3 teams concerns you the most? 312, 644-6767. I'm giving you a St. Louis area code. 312-644-6767.
Let's just get don't to give a us call your phone here. Number, your actual phone number here, Chris.
Yeah,
okay?
You know what? I did that one time. Sean Sears, I did it one time.
Oh, boy.
But I didn't do it on the air. It was on Facebook, I think. I was promoting a show we were doing The Score, and I said, hey, we're doing, I think it was Sox Weekly. It's like, we're doing White Sox Weekly today. Give us a call. And I listed my phone number, and then somebody texted me and said, hey, did you mean to put your phone number on Facebook? And I said, nope, did not mean to do that. So, yes, the phone number is 312-644-6767. So we'll get to your calls in a moment. I'd like to know, again, are you worried more about the Cardinals or the Brewers, or is it this Reds team? Even though they're 7.5 games out right now, there's still a lot of baseball to play, and I think there's something about them that I think is dangerous. I don't know if they have long-term 6 months danger in them, but it's one of those teams that I still am a little concerned about. So you tell me what you think. Meanwhile, for the Cubs, this is a team that for the last 5 games has only scored 13 runs. For an offense that has been one of the best in baseball all season long, that's not a whole lot of offensive output. As the weather starts to get warmer, and I know it was a 50-something degree day yesterday at Wrigley Field, maybe it was right at 60 degrees, so not cold or anything, but certainly not warm yet. But the weather is going to start to warm up here. Is this 5-game stretch of offense that we've seen from them, or lack of offense, is that a concern? Is it a developing concern, or is this just a blip? Is this just a sign of a good team because they have still figured out how to win? Because in those 5 games where they have scored 13 runs, they have won 4 of those 5. So this is a very good question. I don't know if we're looking at a trend, especially considering they haven't played particularly good competition leading up to this. You know, they did just play the Rockies, who are brutal. The Rockies are horrifically bad. And they didn't score a bunch of runs against Colorado, though they did sweep the series. So, are you looking at this as sort of a, hey, it's no big deal, it's just been a week, I'm not too worried about it, or is it a developing problem? Or is this a thing where you say, look, this team has not scored a bunch of runs in the last week, but they have still figured out how to win? I think that is an interesting question to ask. So you tell me what you think. You've got the phone number. Let's start things off in South Bend. Mark is with us on the Score. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Chris. Good to chime in with you again. It's been a while. One is, what about the Cubs and the White Sox? In the last 5 games, as you mentioned, the low run production the Cubs have, I was wondering if the league might have figured something out in their launch angle and their approach at the plate, made an adjustment to it. The other thing with the White Sox is the Ashvila brothers, who now own about 30% or 40% control of the team and will eventually own a majority of control of the team. But as long as the Reinsdorfs are still around, Jerry's going to be the chairman, and Chris Getz, the GM, and so on and so forth. I was just wondering, in a year or two, would Ishvila brothers, when they get near control, will give the okay to Jerry and Chris Getz to open the checkbook and start going after free agents?
Okay, let me answer that second one. I have no idea. I would think that whoever takes over majority ownership of the White Sox moving forward, I mean, if you're going to get into the business now, I want to tell you I would think they would want to spend money. Maybe not like Steve Cohen money, but better, more aggressively, unless they are going to take a slow burn approach, which some teams do. I guess most teams do. If an ownership group takes over, they kind of, you know, they don't go hard right away with spending a bunch of money. You know, they let things settle for a while. They get their books in order. And then maybe after 3-4 years, they start to spend a little bit more. I really don't have any insight on what they would plan to do if they take over or whoever the new ownership group is, whatever they do. I would like to think that the first thing they would do is say, hey, we're here. Let's spend some cash. But it could also be a thing where they would try to limit the amount of money they're spending on payroll if they're trying to get a new stadium built first.
Look, we're not going to be in an Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now. I'll give you.
Yeah. No, no. The best player in the world? No, we're not even going to try. Third biggest market in the country. We're not even going to try. Nah, come on. What are you, stupid? What an insult. Just an absolute insult. So, look, the Cubs are a good team. The White Sox suck. They're just terrible.
David Epstein.
And whatever's, look, there are a lot of people in the organization that I do like, but what is happening to them now, they deserve it. They deserve it. I hate to say it, but they deserve it. Ownership deserves this because you get what you pay for, and this is dog spit. So I don't know what a new ownership group would do. I would like to think they would be aggressive, but it's really difficult to say at this point. So it leads me to my White Sox question here, and that is, if you are still watching the White Sox right now on June 1st of 2025, tell me why. And I'm not asking you hey, why are you doing that? What's the matter with you, way? I mean it. What are you watching for? What enjoyment are you getting out of it? Is it background noise for you? Is it the TV is on, it's summer, or the radio is on and I'm listening to it in the backyard while I do chores? What is it? Well, what is the reason you are still watching White Sox baseball? Are there a couple of young players like Caro that you like? Is there some sort of budding excitement for you? Or is it just flat-out habit? And what else are you going to do? Because I'm a Sox fan, and I've been watching every year for my entire life, so I'm going to spend the next 6 months doing the same. Tell me why. Tell me what it is. You can text or call in at 312-644-6767. And also the question that Mark was asking about the offense, if they figured out something in terms of launch angle. If teams have figured out something about the Cubs as an offense, I don't really know what that would be. My guess is that what we've seen from them offensively over the last five games is just sort of a blip. I don't think this is anything permanent. I don't think this is a cause for concern. That's my take on it. Maybe they're not as good of an offense as, you know, number three in baseball. Maybe they're in reality closer to sixth best, maybe seventh best, or even fifth best. Maybe that's what they are by the end of the season. Top 10 offense. I think that sounds reasonable for them. And if they are, that's not really cause for concern either, at least as far as this division goes. This is still a winnable division. Actually, it's easily a winnable division. If they can pitch decently, this is a pretty winnable division if they are a top 10 offense. So for me, the last 5 days, not really much of a concern. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to reliever Caleb Thielbar of the Cubs. The lefty will join us at 10 o'clock. Paul Sullivan will be with us at 10:25. And we've got Gordon Wittenmeyer, one of my guys. Actually, Sully's one of my guys, too. I shouldn't leave him out. Gordon Whitmire at 11 o'clock. He covers the Reds for Inquirer.
Gordon's actually going to move to 9:45 today.
Oh.
Reds Clubhouse access at 11. So he'll be on with us in the 9 o'clock hour now.
Oh, so Gordon's switching it up on me. How dare that man.
I know. Right. He just loves throwing pretzels and wrenches and things at you, you know, whatever.
He really does. You ever heard him ask questions at a press conference? That's all he does. That's all he does. He's trying to throw wrenches. Gordon Whitmire at 9:45 will be on the show. I thank you for listening in. We've got more to go with you until 12 o'clock today. The Cubs, in case you're wondering, they play baseball this afternoon. It is the finale of the homestand against the Reds. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45. First pitch at 1:20 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. I'm Chris Ranji. This is Hit and Run on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Score.
2-2. Center field, Pico Armstrong dives! How about that play?
Spectacular play by PCA, who makes so many. Man, is he fun to watch play. Watch him go. Sinking line drive, working away from him. Great break, great route, great catch.
I love him staring at the folks in the bleachers. Those are his people. What's up? MVP.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Pete Crow Armstrong with a terrific catch, which sort of dampened any kind of rally the Reds were trying to put together late in the game yesterday at Wrigley Field. And the Cubs go on to win that one. They're going to finish up against the Reds this afternoon. 12:45 is the pregame show here on 670 The Score. I'm Ranji, filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run until 12 o'clock. The number is 312 644, 67, 67. In regard to Pete Crow Armstrong, there has been discussion about him, well, over the last several days, about whether or not the Cubs and Crow Armstrong should look into a contract extension before the season is over, get something done while he's still under team control to sort of extend him beyond, you know, his current deal, which would give him a massive pay raise. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'd like to get your thoughts on it, you know, whether or not you would, if you're him, because really this comes down to if you're him, would you take a deal? Would you take a deal now that if you were to bet on yourself and wait until you, you know, wait for a couple of years and continue to perform the way that you've been performing, you could really cash in on a much bigger deal. Of course, there's the risk that he ends up getting injured to the point where that contract of any kind, whether it's $135 million, $150, $160 million, whatever it is, where that becomes a non-option because a team's not willing to pay for somebody who's injured. So there's always a risk, right? There's always a risk of something like that. If you're him, do you explore it? If you're them, what would you do? And you can give me your thoughts on that as well. You've got the phone number to call and to text. So we'll dive into that a little bit more as the show goes on today. But let's visit now back to the phone lines. We go to Madison and we visit with Bubba on the Score. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good, sir.
Yeah, just wanted to say the Brewers are the team to beat this year, and they're the team to beat every year, it seems, and I just don't understand why. Like you said, they're like the Tom Brady of the MLB Central, because it just seems, I don't understand. We take their manager, and they're still good. They don't add anything, and they're still playing, you know, better ball than, you know, the rest of the division. I don't worry about the Cardinals. Don't worry about the Reds. It's the Brewers.
Okay, I see. I'm with you on the Brewers. I think of all the teams, if I'm the Cubs, I'm concerned about Milwaukee and St. Louis, but probably in the same conversation. I don't think one of them is far and away better than the other one. Though part of me, right now, Bubba, part of me is feeling like this might be the year Milwaukee is done, although I said that a couple of days ago on my regular show, and since I have said that, they've won a few games and they've brought themselves above 500 again. So I don't know what to think of them. I guess I'm still doing this Milwaukee thing. I'm still doing it. I'm still doing this song and dance where I think this is it. They're done. I know they're done. Oh wait, no, they're not. And I still kind of believe they are. But they're showing me right now that maybe they're not. So I don't know what the hell to think about them. I still do think that they are about as dangerous right now as the Cardinals are. So that's my feeling on the National League Central. Though I think the likelihood is, by the end of the year, the Cubs and Cardinals are 1-2. I don't know which one. I think the Cubs are a better team. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to finish in first in the division. So it's between those two teams for me. That's my feeling on the National League Central. How about we talk to, we went from Bubba to Skinny. Skinny is with us in Plainfield. Hello, Skinny.
Good morning, Chris.
Hello,
how are you?
Skinny. Oh, good. How are you?
I'm good. Great to hear from you.
You too.
I think, to answer both your questions there, I don't think we have much to worry about their offense right now. I think Mother Nature's been the reason for them lately. I mean, wind's blowing in. You know, they're beating the teams that they have to beat, which is key. And the way that they score, I mean, this team takes pitches from starters and gets them out of the game early. They steal bases. So I really like the lineup. I think I'm going to come around. If I talk about your other one, the one I'm concerned about is the Brewers because they are the defending division champs. But personally, I despise the Cardinals, so I'm always worried about them.
I know there's a... There was that thing for many years, and I can't remember which friend it was I had, or maybe it was a texter or somebody over Twitter. I don't recall who it was. And it was about Paul DeJong. And it was before, you know, it was when DeYoung came up with the Cardinals. And then, you know, of course, he didn't stay there. But it was something like the sentiment was, oh, great, here's another guy the Cardinals invented. Because there's always some player that they bring up who turns into a at minimum, serviceable player. And it's like they were doing that for many, many years, where they were really good at calling up a guy, nobody having any idea who that guy was, and then he turned into a pretty good player. That happened a lot. It hasn't happened as much with them lately. They got a guy named Brendan Donovan who's pretty good, that a lot of people like. But they haven't been extraordinary at that. They used to be really good at it for about 20 years, but they have come to the conclusion that as far as their farm system goes, they have fallen behind in a big way. They weren't on the cutting edge of anything anymore when they used to be. So their whole thing right now, the way they operate, is trying to fix that. Trying to get back to that point where they could call somebody up, plug him in, and he's going to be good. They want to get back to that point, but they don't believe they're there. So in terms of them being as dangerous as they used to be, I agree with you. They're not. The Cardinals are not as dangerous as they used to be. They were like Milwaukee, but better than Milwaukee has been lately, if you know what I mean, where Milwaukee's always finding a way to be there at the end of the season over the last several years. There was a good 15-year period. That was the Cardinals. And they're just not that anymore. I think this year they are dangerous offensively. They're pretty good. I'm not sure why they're as good as they have been, but they've been pretty good, and they can pitch pretty well so far, though I have concerns about their rotation. I don't know if it's I don't know if it is full season, if it's built to withstand a full season. So we'll see about them. But I do think that at the end of the year, those are probably the two teams, the Cubs and Cardinals, one or two. And I don't know which one wins the division. Like I said earlier, I still think the Cubs are the better team. I don't think they are far and away the better team, but I do think they are the better team.
To your point here, Chris, like for the Cardinals, like they made their first single-digit pick this past draft in 2014 for the first time since 1998. The last time they had a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick, was 1998. They took J.D. Drew. Since then, it's been, you know, middle rounds. Like, they haven't found a ton of these guys, but you look at the names that are popping up on this list, like, just even, like, Pete Cosma, Colby Rasmussen, these are guys that showed up eventually to these rosters. Lance Lynn, Shelby Miller, like, they just were a juggernaut of finding studs in the middle, late first rounds.
Yeah, and they don't do that anymore.
Again,
I mentioned this, this Burleson, who's been pretty good, or I'm sorry, not Burleson, but Donovan, Brendan Donovan, who's been really good for them. But other than that, they just don't do it the way they used to do it.
Yeah, it's like him and Lars Nootbaar basically the last two guys to come through there, right?
And Nootbaar's okay.
They're both like solid, like they're like Nico Horner equivalent, I would say, for like the Cubs. Like pretty good player, but maybe not a superstar. Yeah. Lars Nootbaar maybe could do it, but
that's a pretty good comparison, and fans like both of those players equally. Mm-hmm. I think Cubs fans like Horner in the same way Cardinals fans like Nootbaar.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that. I actually sat next to a Cardinals fan who pointed out Lars Nootbaar to me a couple years ago.
I think they just like his name, though.
Exactly.
Too.
He was telling me, he's like, his name's like a candy bar.
Like Lars Nootbaar.
Yeah, right.
It's a great name. I like Newt Larsbar. That's what I've been calling him, but it's not catching on. So I'll probably drop
I like that.
That
too. That might catch around to my house, maybe, Chris. Okay.
You know what? That's it. Thank you. I'm glad somebody's going to take that up for me. Newt Larsbar. See if you can make that a thing in Chicago.
I'll try my
Brandon,
best.
Let's talk to Brandon in Morton Grove before we hit the break. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, what's good, Ron? Morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I guess we'll start up with the bad and then we'll go with the good. I agree, man. The Cardinals, they're secretly right behind the Cubs. I mean, they're only three games back. As far as their unsaid players, I mean, you got Wynn, you got Herrera, and then you got this guy Jordan Walker that they actually drafted in the first round in 2020.
Yeah.
And he's starting to come on a little bit with some clutch hits. And
he was the first, real quick, Brandon, he was the first, like, legit top prospect player they've had. I think he was either number one or number two MLB prospect overall a couple of years ago. He hasn't played like that. He hasn't been that, but he was that sort of pedigree, and that's the first one they've had like that in years.
And I mean, what if, let's say, you know, he starts to come on strong, kind of like a Jermaine, he reminds me of like kind of a Jermaine Dye kind of player. Do they have money to spend? I mean, you know, in the, for free agents as well?
Well, Brandon, that's an interesting question, and I appreciate the call. I think they have it. They went into the season, however, shedding payroll. They actually dropped their payroll from 2024 going into this year. I don't think they were expecting to be competitive at all. This was going to be a transitional year for them, and they've been, the word runway has been used a ton. They're giving the young players runway. They're giving Jordan Walker runway, and they've got a guy named Nolan Gorman who they were trying to get everyday playing time because they were trying to trade Nolan Arenado, and that didn't work out. So Arenado's still on the team. So this was one of those transitional years. Let's let some of these young guys play. Matthew Liberatore, their starter, we're not going to pull him if he has two bad starts. He's staying in the rotation. That was the philosophy. But for the first 2 months, they've been actually competitive, and they've played pretty well. So this, at least through a third of the season, has not gone the way many of us thought it would go. I didn't think they would be particularly good, and by the end of the year, they may not be. I still think that's a possibility. I think they will be, though, but it's possible that they fall off by the time they get to September. I think they'll be competitive throughout. So can they spend money? Yeah, I think they can. I think they have it, but right now they are not intending to do it. And I don't know that they're intending to do it next year either. Maybe a little bit during the offseason, but they're, I cannot see the Cardinals anytime in the next year, maybe even 2 years, being aggressive in free agency. So if that's a concern you have, I can't see that happening, though. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I don't know. Maybe they will be so competitive for the rest of the year that they completely redefine what they want to be moving forward. Like, soon. Maybe they decide to be aggressive going into next year, but I don't see that happening. 312-644-6767. If you want to hop in, get on hold, and we'll talk in a little bit, yeah, let's do that. But when we come back, we are going to talk to Gordon Wittenmeyer, who covers the Cincinnati Reds and an old friend of ours here in Chicago. Gordon Wittenmeyer for the Cincinnati Inquirer will join us when we come back on Hit and Run. I'm Chris Ranji, filling in for Spiegs on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Yeah, filling in for Matt Spiegel today until 12 o'clock. We are trying to hook up with our guy, Gordon Wittenmeyer, and a texter to 312-644-6767 says, when you have Gordon on, please ask him about his appearance on Bar Rescue. And I don't know if I remembered this. It sounds vaguely familiar, but apparently he was. Like 8 years ago, he was on Bar Rescue. And you know what? I got, I was asked by a friend who is works for a radio station in Detroit. And he said, hey, would you want to go on Bar Rescue? This was months ago. And I said, yeah, sure. Okay. They're coming through town. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. And he said, I'm going to pass your number along to the person who's in charge of it. And they never called me. I wanted to be on Bar Rescue. I'd have been one of those people that do the, I would have gotten to do a stakeout. I would have done that, and then I would have complained about everything. Let's talk to Gordon Wittenmeyer from the Cincinnati Inquirer, who is my dude. I miss him. I haven't talked to him in ages, and he is covering the Reds. He is in town as the Cubs play the Reds today. Hey, Gordon, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, it's good to talk to you. I forgot you were on Bar Rescue years ago.
Oh yeah, and I did complain. They took some of my complaints off the air though, because the bar owner was such a crap show. So they put a bunch of him on there.
It was the dugout, right? In Wrigleyville?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and it's as soon as they fixed it up, the guy let it go to hell again.
Well, that happens a lot with Bar Rescue and what's the Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Same thing used to happen all the time. They'd do all this great work, they'd renovate the place, they'd leave, and then the business would go to hell again in 2 months.
Well, I mean, think about it. There's a reason the business was in that bad place in the first place.
Kind of like all baseball teams, ownership.
Oh, my God, don't get me started.
Yeah, tell me about the Cincinnati Reds ownership and leadership, because it was just prior to last year that their team president basically said, and maybe it might have been 2 years ago, where he said essentially that Reds fans are lucky that the team is in Cincinnati in the first place. And I'm paraphrasing, that's what he said.
The owner's son.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the quote was it had to do with, you know, you should sell the team or move the team or, you know, spend some money if you're not going to do that, get some players in here. And he basically said they weren't going to sell, and then he told the fans, where are you going to go? And it's like, yeah, well, I'll tell you where we're not going to go. And attendance bore that out. They did not go to Great American Ballpark for quite a while. I mean, that was a one of the most tone-deaf, dumbest ass things I've ever heard an owner say. And believe me, I spent a lot of time in Chicago. I've heard some dumbass things from owners.
Oh, man. It's so good. It, you know what it is? It's really funny when it's not your team. You love hearing stuff like that when it's not your team. But here are the Reds, and they are competitive. But I sort of put them in the same conversation with the Pirates, though they're not as bad as Pittsburgh as an organization.
You can put them in the same conversation when it comes to, certainly in the last couple of years, sticking revenue sharing money in their pockets. Mm-hmm. And not spending it on players. And I would say it was particularly egregious in Cincinnati this last offseason when they had a young core group in place and some starting pitching where you could dream on being a playoff contender if you went and got the one big bat. And because their payroll was so low, they could have, even the Cincinnati Reds, could have gone out and competed for that one big bat. They didn't. That's on ownership. You go back to that again. That's the one place in recent years you can compare them to Pittsburgh. But, man, there's really nobody in baseball to compare to Pittsburgh. The fact that the idea of trading Paul Skeens with 4.5 years left of club control is even a conversation
mm-hmm.
says everything you need to know about the Pittsburgh Pirates being in a class by themselves. Because if you're saying that, what you're saying is we will never – put the team on the field. We will never have a window of opportunity unless it bites us in the ass, because we won't create it. We will never create a window of opportunity if Paul Skeens is even a conversation a year into his big league career. So that's a class by itself. And I hope, and I don't know anything firsthand on this, so I'm just speculating, but it would seem to me that the commissioner's office is probably on the phone, probably more than once at this point, with Pittsburgh's ownership over things like this in recent years.
Well, while I look, if you're another team in the division, if you're a fan of the Cubs or Brewers or Cardinals or whatever, it's nice that one of the teams is automatically eliminated before the season starts and makes your job easier of getting to the playoffs.
Themselves.
However, however, I would argue that if you're a fan of any of those other teams, this should piss you off a little, that the Pirates don't even try. Like, it's not good for baseball when you have teams that don't even try. Yeah, it's easier for you to get into the playoffs, less competition, but still, for the game, it is not good for baseball to have teams that don't even give an effort.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, we're talking about, like, if you're a baseball fan, is what you're saying. And I totally agree. Yeah, yep. If you're a Cardinals fan, you say, well, that's just one more team. I don't have to worry about it. Matter of fact, that probably is out of here. You know, something like that. Okay, that's fine. But you're right, because the other thing that it does is, unless you're a fan of the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Red Sox, the Mets, and I'm not going to include the Cubs in that, because we've seen how they don't operate the same as some of those other big market teams. But unless you're a fan of those teams that try every year, then you're watching Pittsburgh and saying, God dang, that's a blueprint for my team. It's a cover for my team if it wants to go through a four-year process or however many year process and just scale right back and not even try for a while in these non-guaranteed promises of what might be to come. And the Reds, I mean, that's what the Reds are doing right now, honestly. I mean, that's where they are now. They're coming back from that process, and you could argue that in 2023 they were ahead of schedule on that process. Right now, it's hard to really know how far they can take this, but they did that, and for a couple of years. I mean, they lost 100 games for the first time in I don't know how long, and in 2022, and they set the lowest attendance ever in their ballpark a couple of times that next season, and so they seem to be kind of back now, but you never want to see your team go through that process.
No, and that's a great point, that it gives cover to other teams to try stuff like that, too. So, Gordon Whitmeyer, before we say goodbye here, we just heard from Terry Francona right at the start of the segment, who is the manager of this team. And I've been going back and forth on why they would hire him unless they were truly intending to win. So, if you and why he would take the job unless they were truly intending to win. So,
they're truly intending to win.
Yeah, so for the remainder of this season, how big of a threat, even though they're under 500, how big of a threat are the Reds in the division?
There's two reasons to keep an eye on them. I don't have great faith in them being a player down the stretch based on what I've seen the first 2 months. But the two reasons to keep an eye on them, if you're the first-place team in this division, which this city has that team, it's the starting pitching, which stacks up as deep, five deep anyway, maybe six if their top prospect comes up, as anybody else in the division. And as you know, starting pitching is, what, 80% of the game? Mm-hmm. So it allows them to stay out of long losing streaks, and it gives them a starting point for possibly putting together a run. The other thing is Terry Francona. He might be the best manager in the game, certainly the top three, and really good managers, when they take over, especially in a new team as they get familiar with it, those teams tend to get better over the second half as he weeds out guys that don't fit what he's doing, as he identifies his strengths, and as he starts playing games with a little more urgency to win into July and August. So keep an eye on those two factors.
Yeah, they have been a top five starting staff. They've been really good. It's amazing how well the Reds have pitched. So that could be that is definitely a thing to watch for, Gordon. Hey, I appreciate your time. It's good to talk to you, man.
Oh, you got it, man. Anytime. Love talking to you.
You're my guy. Gordon Whitmeyer of the Cincinnati Inquirer, old friend here covering local baseball for a very long time. One of my favorite things about Gordon is that he is not afraid at all to ask any question. I love it. And he will ask any question in front of other people. He does it in public, you know, in front of people. He's the best. Gordon Whitmeyer for the Cincinnati Inquirer. When we come back, we are expecting a conversation with Cubs reliever Caleb Thielbar. He is going to join the show. Hour two is coming up. This is Hit and Run, and we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Chris Ranji, filling in for Spiegs on Hit and Run.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.